And now in the studio, I have Ant Katz. How are you doing, Ant?
Very well. Can't hear you on the earphones.
Oh, okay. Now better. Okay, good. It's quite a quick sort of brief that we got together so quickly on this. And it's an interesting story. I've obviously perused the story, and maybe you'd like to break the news. I'll give you that that respect. You break the news and let us know what it is, because I think it's quite it's a startling story. Just hang on a sec, Ant. Can you hear me in the mics?
I can hear you.
Okay.
In the mic.
All right, because I'm not getting much.
I can't hear myself.
Okay. How's that? Is that better?
Hello.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry.
We got it.
And I got to put the right buttons on.
Right.
Sorry about that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a fascinating story. It's been playing out over the last 2 years.
Is it that long?
I've been following it for the last 18 months.
Okay. Let me just quickly say, Ant Katz from the Jewish Report. Perhaps I didn't say that.
Right. I'm the online editor.
Online editor of the Jewish Report. Right.
And,
perfect.
We've recently built a new website in sajr.co.za.
And I must compliment you. It's a great website.
Thanks. Awesome. Haven't got the ads out the way.
Right. Now, let's see what the story
is. It's a stunning story.
Yeah.
You know, it's an increasingly problem. It's an increasingly big problem for Jewish kids on campuses today. They're becoming increasingly radicalized.
Yes.
And, you know, the issue of the day, when I was a youngster on a campus, ban the bomb was a thing. The issue of the day worldwide today, it's got nothing to do with South Africa, is the pro-Palestinian cause.
Right.
And people have a problem distinguishing between being angry with Israel and being angry with expatriate Jewry.
Right.
And so part of it really gets down, when you get down to Tachlis, there's a situation where local Jews are increasingly finding that they are being targeted because they're Jewish and they're seen as being Israeli.
Okay, so there's a couple of issues here. The first is, you said pro-Palestinian. Is that not just manifesting itself as anti-Israel, or is it the other way around?
Well, it's the same thing. It's because the cause is pro-Palestinian,
it
becomes anti-Israel.
But then again, we need to also clear up the differences between Zionism and Jewish, because that also gets
massively
confused.
There's a blurring of the lines between being anti-Israel, being anti-Zionist, and being anti-Semite.
Right.
And
look, you're talking to a person that doesn't blur those lines. For me, it's one and the same. So let me say,
a lot of people do that.
Right.
A lot of people do that. But essentially, if someone's against you because of your religion, they're anti-Semitic.
Yes.
If someone's against you because you believe Israel should, the Jewish people should have a homeland,
yes,
wherever that may be, and however large that may be, you're anti-Zionist.
Right.
And if you don't like what Israel does, you're anti-Israel.
Right.
And remember, a lot of the people who live in Israel are Arabs and Christians.
Correct.
Or Muslims and Christians.
Correct.
So so we've tried to stay as far away as possible from the term anti-Semitic.
Right.
Because there's no real evidence here that any of the activities that have taken place have been because people were Jewish.
Okay.
It was because they stood up for Israel.
Right.
Or against Israel apartheid week, essentially.
Do you believe that had the person we're going to be talking about was not Jewish, do you think it would have got to this point?
Well, that's an interesting question, which I've been asked by quite a number of people who would have preferred to have seen it being called anti-Semitic. And I can't answer that. But I think if the person involved wasn't Jewish, they wouldn't have been so adamantly pro-Israel, let's put it that way. And so it may not have happened because of that.
I hear that.
But, you know, she was defended and won her case. All right, let's go back.
Let's go back to the story.
Here we have a very bright young lady by the name of Larissa Klazinger. She's a Rhodes alumni.
Okay.
She has been working at Rhodes for over 10 years, over 8 years of that, in a position where, and she says right up front, she says, let me get this out the way. I'm gay.
Okay.
I have a partner who's causer, but don't panic, she's converting. And I have a hearing disability. So she says, I'm used to being feeling prejudice.
Right. Well, clearly she's the eyes are going to be on her.
Right.
Right.
So she was 8 years ago, she was appointed to at Rhodes University to take up the position. I think it was a new position at the time, to help desensitize people on campus to issues of different religions, different races, different sexual orientations. It was what she was hired for.
Right.
And her attorney, Michael Bagram, says in the end that's what she was fired for. So it's actually
it's a double-edged
really
sword. Yeah.
So she happened to be Jewish. Her big clash and problem started in 2012, which is now 2 years ago, with Israel Apartheid Week, where she was expected as within the Dean of Students' office to do certain tasks, which she did.
As part of her job description. To assist Apartheid Week kind
to
of thing.
To do what she had to do in terms of assisting Apartheid Week. So she maintained the student website, for example, and she had to put a banner on and advise people of events and things like that. And she did that. She made a point of wearing pro-Israeli clothing and Hebrew writing on her clothing over the period. And there was,
freedom of expression, is it not?
Well, her point is that students are allowed freedom of expression, the academic staff are allowed freedom of expression, but the professional staff at the university don't get that protection.
But that's nonsense.
Which comes out of the story.
If a professor of whatever, international relations, I'm just using an example, we had to come in to work with an Arab kafir on, it would be fine.
It would be fine. In fact,
but she can't wear a T-shirt with Tzahal.
In fact, this is the very beginning of a number of stories and exposés which we plan to publish. One of them is that they are teaching anti-Israel stuff in the history department, the syllabi. I mean, it's really...
There's
a culture. There's an anti-Israel, anti-Jewish culture.
Okay. Now, are we speaking specifically about Rhodes now?
About Rhodes.
Okay.
Although... we know it takes place, obviously, on other universities. We had the Shoot the Jew incident there.
Yeah.
During Israel Apartheid Week in 2012, and this is one of the scariest things of all, BDS, as an organization, decided to monitor her actions. She'd be given information. I want to see how quickly she'd act on it and things like that.
To try and trip her up. And we're going
to
take a quick break, and we're going to be back straight after this. 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Steve Marks. This is the Chai Drive Show. It's 24 minutes after 3 on Thursday afternoon. In the studio, I have Ant Katz, the online editor for The Jewish Report, and we're discussing the uncomfortable story that is developing about anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism, whatever you'd like to call it, at Rhodes University. And this story is breaking now.
The story is breaking now.
Okay.
Let me just respond quickly to an SMS we've had from Ricky Lomi. Ricky is asking, I think what he's saying is because the print edition isn't coming out of the newspaper until 17 January, it's a little bit difficult for him, but the entire story is on the website. It's sajr.co.za.
Have you had a problem sort of converting from print to... has it been a bit sort of erratic?
Well,
people battling a bit with this?
Not really. It's a massive problem in that they're two completely different mediums. I've spent my entire life up until 8 years ago working in print community journalism, and now I'm online. Online, you have no limit to space. You can literally run a page a mile long.
That's right.
In the newspaper, you're always fighting what story goes in, which picture. Here
That's
we
right.
can run a 10,000-word story with a
That's
bunch
right.
of pictures and all sorts of things.
Okay, so essentially it's www.sajr.co.za.
That's it.
SouthAfricanJewishReport.co.za.
SAJR.co.za. But if you go to South African Jewish Report, it will take you to the
site. Okay, fantastic. And I couldn't find your Twitter handle, so that I need to know.
Right, we're busy getting that going.
Are you getting that going?
We're
okay,
busy
right.
getting that going.
Let's get back to the subject.
Comment on the story. Right.
Fabulous.
So for the second time this year, and a lot happened in between, BDS again... this is off campus, based in Joburg, allocated a specific person under the direction of Mohammed Desai to monitor. And they sent out an email to a whole lot of people, and they said, top secret, highly confidential, please monitor everything Larissa Klasinger does and report back to us.
Okay, so, right, okay.
All right. So anyway, she had a bit of a run-in with her direct report, who was the deputy dean of students and the dean of students over Israel Apartheid Week this week and ahead of it, and they tried to cut her out of it, and shortly after that, she appealed to the Jewish community for help. She contacted the board in Cape Town, who put her onto the Fed in Cape Town, who put her onto a guy by the name of Leon Reich.
Yes,
Leon Reich. And Leon, for 20 years was a councillor in Grahamstown, okay. For many of those years mayor, and he sat on the council of Rhodes University. So okay. He was asked to attend to the matter, and he took a delegation down there.
Right.
And we published a story. At that stage, I was publishing a website called My Shtetl.
Yes.
We published a story on My Shtetl, and I've never, ever had the type of pressure from the Board of Deputies, I must tell you,
this is another
to take it down.
Yeah, right.
And this was about this delegation that went down there to find out the problem with Jewish students and members of staff on campus.
Okay.
But the story was the most read story ever on my shtetl, and it led to Michael Bagram reading it. And
okay.
Michael Bagram then went to her legal defense. They then laid charges. And then the other thing is that during Israel Apartheid Week this year, her partner...
Right.
Put up some posters that had been sourced from Stand With Us in Israel,
okay.
In America.
Okay.
And they were a little bit over the top. There were pictures of people being hung in Muslim countries for okay. homosexuality.
Well, that's not really Stand With Israel.
It was made by Stand With Israel. And the whole
yeah.
idea was anti-Israel Apartheid Week material.
Okay.
So the university yeah. tore them down. They wanted to bring charges against her. Her partner,
right.
Charlene.
Based on what charges?
Racism.
Okay.
For putting up the...
Okay. Right.
The university has its own internal disciplinary organization which deals with issues like this, which is called the Fairness Forum. So
right.
they referred it to the Fairness Forum, and the Fairness Forum came back and said, this is not racism. This led to a full-page story in the Mail and Guardian as to whether the Fairness Forum... The university then threatened to disband the Fairness Forum.
Okay.
And make another forum, and they wanted to charge her. At the same time...
So the first forum didn't work, let's make another one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there are so many subtexts to the story that I'm really just giving you the peaks of the headlines. Larissa's life was made miserable when this delegation went down in April. She was told not to attend the meeting off campus by her bosses. She attended. On the 7th of June, she was handed a charge sheet, and this was a laundry list. There were 15 main charges, of which almost everyone used the term Zionist.
Okay.
Or, like Bagg says, they wanted to charge her for walking down the main street in Grahamstown holding hands with her girlfriend.
Well, I mean, it's just a witch hunt.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it was a witch hunt.
Yeah.
And in fact... The witch hunt part of it was that they were following her through the anti-Israel Apartheid Week
yeah.
and asking people, send us things, and that was a lot of it. So she
right.
answered all these charges. But apart from the 15 main charges, it was something like 25 other things that they said would be
okay.
discussed.
Okay. And in the studio, I'm talking to Ant Katz, the online editor for The Jewish Report, and we're discussing the debacle, the anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, anti-Semitism, at Rhodes University, that is being played out, and the story is breaking as we speak. Thanks, Ant. Let's carry on where we were.
Okay, so you got me on.
Yeah,
right.
I got you on. Yeah,
right. So essentially, on the speed read on this is that on the 7th of June they handed her an entire laundry list of charges,
right?
Which she had to answer to on the 14th of June. She arrived on the 14th. She was then told, when her lawyer asked for further details,
yeah.
He was told that she's not allowed to have outside representation. Michael Bagram's one of the top labor lawyers in South Africa,
yeah.
and he doesn't put up with that at all.
Yeah.
So he couldn't
How does that work? Sorry, outside representation?
Supposed to, according to employment contracts, you can only have an internal representative.
Okay.
He couldn't make it on the 7th, so
right.
he asked an advocate, a very prominent advocate from Grahamstown, Itzhak Smuts,
okay.
to please attend with her.
Right.
When they arrived in the meeting, essentially two things happened. First of all, they asked the independent chairman to leave. The university's lawyer was prosecuting. The university's lawyer then made her quite a substantial offer in cash.
Okay, but this is a hearing, right?
This is supposed to be
a disciplinary hearing, right.
So they asked the chairman if he'd mind going outside, and then they offered her a substantial amount of cash.
To be quiet and go away. Okay.
She wanted her day in court.
Right.
She didn't believe any of the charges would stick, and she told them to take a jump, and they called the chairman back in, and the chairman immediately remanded it for 2 weeks so that Michael Bagram could be there at the time.
Okay.
The vice-chancellor of the university, Dr. Salim Badat, has a special projects manager, a lawyer by the name of Susan Smales. She'd been in the hearing. She went straight from that hearing to the vice chancellor's office. She said to him, "This charge sheet is a load of rubbish, and this is all being very unfairly handled."
Right.
5 o'clock that afternoon, Lewis is invited to tea at the vice chancellor's office. He basically, effectively, tears up the charge sheet. Says all these charges are gone,
based on his advice from his own counsel.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, although it's questionable how much he knew about it.
I see.
If you think about his lawyer was making a substantial shut up and go away offer to someone, someone must have said okay before that.
Well, fine. Exactly.
But there's no evidence to any extent that he was anything but absolutely had no knowledge of this.
Okay.
He saw the charge.
So we're not saying squeaky clean, but we're not saying guilty of anything either.
Yes. Okay. There are people who are saying guilty, but they don't have evidence.
Okay. All right.
He then receives this charge sheet, invites her to tea. She comes along to tea. They get rid of the charge sheet. Not only that, he says to her, it seems clear that the person you report to and the person who they report to, the department head, the relationship is now so sour, in future you will report to my special emissary, Susan Smales,
right,
and he tells her to take a few days leave.
Okay.
So, in essence, he acted absolutely admirably. She made the decision that there's no way she can carry on working in this environment, and so a negotiation began, during which there has been a confidentiality clause signed as to what the amount was given to her, but according to Michael Bagram, her attorney, she received a very substantial payout. According to her, she couldn't have expected any more. She was thrilled. She walked off campus. Her last day was the 29th of November. She'd asked us to hold publication. Early in October, the settlement was reached. She'd asked us to hold publication until she was off, until she'd left.
Right.
And it's a very difficult and technical story. Anybody but let me ask you a question. Look at it, we'll see. So we had to go through all the legal channels, speak to all the people, and so
but there was on. There's certainly not a non-disclosure in the agreement that they reached in terms of her payout, etc.
There's a non-disclosure in terms of the payout.
Okay,
not
that's
of anything
all.
Else.
Not of anything else. Okay.
So all she's right. been able to talk very openly.
Okay, good.
So she wrote the story herself. She said she wanted to write her own story. It's a beautiful story, and we've got that published separately on the website.
Okay.
And she said that she wanted to write her own story because she wanted people to know that Rhodes is not full of rogues and scabangos, but there are some very nice people there.
Right.
At the same time, there are several sub-stories which we'll be following up. One of them is that some of their learning material is very specifically anti-Israel or pro-Palestine, whichever way you want to look at it, in terms of the history department. There are certain... the place is so toxic that one of the associate professors wrote, and we have reams, literally, of information.
Right.
One of the associate professors wrote to the dean of students a while back and said, I have two students, a Jewish chap.
Right.
He said, I have two students, first-year students, who actually left blank on their application form religion, and they're both practicing Jews.
That's disgusting.
Now, to have this kind of thing on a campus. Now we're coming up to Israel Apartheid Week 2014. The second thing is the university has apparently, and I have to say apparently, according to several sources, been giving funds, which is apparently illegal, to assist organizing certain IAW events.
Okay.
Through all of this,
it's coming directly from the university.
Coming directly from, so for example, the Dean's discretionary fund and the English department gives this for that event and from that event, but it's public money.
Right, but we're talking about misappropriation here.
So according to the person who's doing an investigation of it at the moment, he says this is absolutely against corporate governments. This is public money that could not have been used for this.
Okay. But how does that... I mean, how does that get past the committees in terms of the finance of the school?
Well,
I mean,
it seems to be such a pro-Palestinian environment. I mean, there are letters in the story. People should read the story. I mean, there are letters in the story where somebody attacks Larissa and says, people don't want to be associated with people of your ilk. That letter is copied to her department head.
Right.
No action is taken. She eventually brings a private prosecution on this matter,
yes,
and wins it.
Okay.
So it's just really bad. Israel Apartheid Week is co-organized by the vice chancellor's son, who's a student there.
Okay. Starting, I can smell the gefilte fish.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there are some absolutely atrocious, in terms of, for example, the dean's office. There was originally an admission in March this year that they'd given some money. Later, when one of the associate professors was doing an investigation, he was told we never gave the money. We have the email trail which shows that there was every intention of giving the money,
okay,
and not actually the transfer of the money.
Right.
And that's why it's been such a long story. And I must tell you...
So this is essentially 2 years in the making.
It's, I mean, 2 years in the making.
The trend, this trend, this anti-Israel, anti-Zionism, anti-Semitic thread that seems to be winding its way through Rhodes, how long has that ostensibly being going on for?
Well, it's certainly been going on for the 2 years that we've been,
right,
following the story. And funnily enough, as we all know, there's a very huge, and as the SMS you read earlier,
yeah,
shows, there's a very, very large Christian Zionist element in South Africa.
Absolutely. And we're grateful to them.
Absolutely.
For their voicing their stuff, yeah.
To the best I can establish, there are only going to be 6 Jewish people on that entire campus next year, but most of the people who are standing up for Israel and fighting for Israel,
yes,
are Christian Zionists.
Well,
and they
call
feel
kavod
very strongly about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And, it's just, it's wonderful. So the tachlis of the story, she was, according to Bagram, dismissed for being gay and a Zionist, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, my goodness.
She chose rather to take a package than to stay there. She's now unemployed. And the story broke now because we had to get through all of the legal things.
Yes,
we had to speak
course
to all of the people who were involved. And it's been a very, very difficult story to write. One of the most difficult stories I've ever had to present, because you try to hold people's attention for 6,000-8,000 words.
101.9 Chai FM, it's 3:41 in the afternoon. This is the Chai Drive Show. If you've just joined us and tuned in, thank you very much. My name is Steve Marks. In the studio, I have Ant Katz, the online editor for the South African Jewish Report. And you can find that at www.sajr.co.za. And we're discussing the rather unpleasant anti-Jewish, anti-whatever you like to call it, debacle at Rhodes University in Grahamstown. And unfortunately, we were discussing how long this anti-Semitic sort of thread has been going through. And, I mean, are we talking about a school that has had this kind of thing for years and years? I mean, if you go back to the alumni from...
let me put it to you this way. Rhodes was the only university... there used to be a big Jewish population in East London, Port,
yes,
Elizabeth.
Yes.
Rhodes, at one stage, had the only journalism school in the country.
That's right.
So any kids from the Eastern Cape or from Jewish kids,
right,
or who wanted to study journalism have always gone to Rhodes. So there used to be quite a lot of Jewish,
yes,
people on campus. It's faded. But
right,
some interesting spin-offs. One, somebody who was giving, I believe, 10 million rand a year plus as an alumni to Rhodes,
okay,
read the story that we published in April and has redirected those funds to an Israeli university.
Understandably. Them, clearly a Jewish donor.
A Jewish donor.
Yeah.
Another one of the major Jewish donors is the Raymond Ackerman Foundation, and somebody is going to go and visit them and show them the story.
Okay.
They gave 20 million, I believe, this year, I'm told.
Wow.
So, you know, Adam Habib at Wits has,
yes,
made it very clear to his students that we've been threatened by Jewish donors and we need those funds. And I think that I don't think there's any difference with Rhodes.
You mean in terms of Wits and Rhodes, in terms of
the fact that they're getting so much funding from Jewish
alumni? Oh, yeah, and I'm sort of saying in terms of their policy towards Israel and Jews, etc. Wits have made some reparations in the past, anyway, certainly in the last few months. However, that's not the point.
On Rhodes,
yeah,
there's a statement from which I had in an email from the Deputy Dean of Students that the predominant
feeling on campus
yes.
is pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel, and I checked with him on the phone, and he confirmed that that is the situation right. there. How long it's been going on for, we can't really tell, but I can tell you that it needs to change.
I think it's probably gotten worse in the last 10 years, perhaps. I mean, perhaps it's just got worse.
Well, I think Larissa was an activist. Let me tell you, Larissa wasn't a quiet, Larissa's a lovely girl. Yes. I love her to bits, but, you know, she'll be the first one to tell you. She was an activist on campus, so she probably forced some of these events to happen.
You're talking about provocative. Okay.
To the extent of being provocative. With Israel Apartheid Week this week, she put an Israeli flag on the door of her office. And the deputy dean of students tore it down, put it under her door with a note saying, come and see me about this.
Yes.
He says, which is reasonable, she is supposed to be a student advisor, and she, by putting that flag on her door, she's taking a political position which right. might cause someone else not to walk into her office to discuss a problem.
Right. Yeah.
To you or I, putting an Israeli flag on the door, how the hell can anybody call it provocative? So
no,
there are two sides to the story. The Absolutely. Other side didn't want to tell their story, but they were given the opportunity.
Okay.
As it happens, the story's gone out this morning. It was only published yesterday evening. It's gone out this morning to 11 Israeli newspapers, to most mainstream papers in South Africa, to America, to Canada, to Australia. So Media Team Israel has been very helpful Fantastic. In distributing the story. And at the end of the day, the saddest part of the whole thing is that here was a girl who loved her university. Universities are supposed to be places of freedom of expression.
Of course.
And when she brought it up, she was told the staff and students have freedom of expression. But okay. admin staffers are not entitled to it.
Okay. Which, again, in my analogy in the beginning, in terms of if a professor, if like Ronnie Casuals wants to walk around with his kafir, he has a right to do that. And any professor, they do that anyway, surely.
Absolutely. The few Israeli students asked for a debate during Israel Apartheid Week last year, and they were just shut down and told no. Okay. So they try.
Yeah.
But the story is absolutely horrific, and it really and truly isn't purely a road situation. We know
no,
that
I think
the WITS students and other students on UJ are coming up against the same
it's
thing.
It's the same thing, yeah.
And this has been really poorly handled. And now you have a dean of students' office where Larissa was probably the number three employee.
Right.
The number two employee, the deputy dean, has left and he's gone to Cape Town. And there are rumors that the dean of students is taking early retirement. She didn't want to comment on it when I called her, right. but we've heard some very strong rumors. So I've got a feeling that she's staying on through January
right.
Just to get things going. And yes. all of a sudden, they're going to lose all this intellectual capital.
Right.
In the middle of all of that, we have Dr. Badat, who has applied and is shortlisted for a position at University of the Western Cape.
Okay.
And that's further intellectual capital invested
yes, of
in
course.
The university. Not that it's the right or wrong intellectual capital, but it could be quite chaotic.
Well, the thing is, there's a couple of questions that leap to mind for me. First of all, is Rhodes worth anything still? Is it a university to be reckoned with? I'm spitballing here. I mean, if you compare it with the other UCT, WITS, etc. I mean, is it a university that we should be worried about in terms of, are we going to be losing, as you say, intellectual capital coming out of Rhodes?
I think Rhodes is one of intellectually senior, in terms of papers published per capita okay. and that kind of thing, university.
Okay. So it's almost like a South African Ivy League school.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Right. So that's
if anything, it would fall.
It would be WITS, UCT, and Rhodes would be the three Ivy League kind of schools.
Yes.
Okay. Just to sort of use an analogy.
And then on the English side, and then of course you've got Stellenbosch, Pretoria,
right, course,
and
yes.
UOFS,
Orange Free State University.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
now right. Now that's perfect. And the other thing I'd like to know is you said. Now, this story is now almost, it's been wrapped up in terms of Larissa. The settlement's been done. She's out of employment there. So and that's really, it's about telling the story and about making people aware of the pitfalls of Rhodes and where their management and administration is biased. Where to from here?
Well,
what would you advise parents and students going forward?
Larissa's advice in Larissa's story, which she writes separately, but we keep quoting from it. It's exclusively available on the website.
Okay.
She advises Jewish parents not to send their children to Rhodes.
To Rhodes, okay.
She's adamant on that.
Are there any courses at Rhodes that you cannot do anywhere else? Just as a matter of interest.
I don't think so. There used to be, but I mean...
Journalism, as you said, was
somebody,
one of them.
If somebody lives anywhere in that part of the world, it's a long way to get your kids to Wits or
Right. Go on, now, of course.
And it's expensive. Of course. And it's, look, the Jewish population is struggling. Port Elizabeth is dwindling, but it's reinvigorating now under a new rabbi who's holding it all together.
Okay.
And but I think Rhodes is toxic. And, you know, you've got Israel Apartheid Week coming up this year. I think that being under the microscope, I'm hoping that we won't see the university slipping funding illicitly for events. So hopefully it'll be a smaller event, and hopefully there would be a reciprocal spin-off for at Wits, because Wits there is a big problem with Israel Apartheid Week.
Yes.
And hopefully the involvement in this story of staff at BDS goes beyond what I know their directors expect of them, and hopefully that would also clip their wings a little bit.
Right.
But as I say, the road story itself is not finished. This is just the beginning of it, and we hope to have breaking news every week on it.
Right, 101.9 Chai FM, it's 3:51 on, I keep forgetting, it's Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of January 2014. In the studio, I have Ant Katz, online editor for the South African Jewish Report. We are discussing the very toxic social situation at Rhodes University regarding Jewish students, regarding Israel, regarding being Jewish, etc. And specifically about Larissa
Klazinger,
who was an employee there in the student's office, the dean of students' office, and subsequently coming to an arrangement with them because of the harassment that she underwent regarding her, first of all, her lifestyle choice, and the second of all, the fact that she supports Israel and identifies it as a Jew. Right, let's carry on. I've got a text coming through here from Mr. Kalmay, it looks like. Why is it that when you are having Islamic issues on, there is interference? Now, I'm not quite sure what you meant there. Perhaps you can clarify that. Thank you very much for your text, by the way. Can you comment?
Can I take up that story?
Please.
I think that I must be very clear, because I've written the story, that this is not an issue about Islam or anti-Islamic. It is a pro-Jewish story. It's a pro-Zionist story.
Yes. It's a human rights story. I mean, it's very much around a constitutional story.
Absolutely. And the fact that there's a toxic environment in Rhodes for Jewish students, for Jewish staff, for Jewish academics, it's not – we haven't suggested for one second, and I certainly wouldn't.
Well, Islam's got anything to do with it.
That it's got anything to do with Islam whatsoever. No. It's not Islamic, and
we're the tweeter – is coming from is perhaps a lot of the anti-Israel, the BDS, etc., Israel Apartheid Week, is run by Muslim people. Is that fair to say?
It is.
Okay.
So
perhaps that's where the confusion is that you do get the names like Badat, just to use an example, or Dasai, etc., acting in these capacities.
Absolutely. Okay. And in fact, you know, in general, I'm very careful to stay away from saying that a person who is pro-Palestine is anti-Semitic. These are two issues. You said earlier in the show that you generally feel that if one is anti-Israel, if one is anti-Zionist, then one is anti-Semitic.
Well, that's a personal feeling.
But yes. Yeah. But the fact is that I think in general, Islamic people around the world feel that Palestinians as an Islamic group are being unfairly treated, but certainly this has nothing to do with that.
No. Well, this is the thing. There's a difference between, pro-Palestine and anti-Semitism. There's some blurred lines there, but I mean, let's not go into that right now. What's important here is the message out to people in terms of roads and going forward. How many Jewish staff members are currently employed at Rhodes? Do you know?
I think the total contingent of Jewish people on campus last year was six.
Including staff?
Yeah.
Six, staff and students?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's clearly dwindled for many.
It's been on the decline, and it's declining even further. Right. So the fact is that there are not a lot of people, but that's what makes it all the more difficult for those who are.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's sort of cleansing, if to use that word, the campus and the students of Jews. It's you're pushing them out.
Yeah.
It's a conscious effort. It appears to be a conscious effort to rid the school of Jews.
I wouldn't like to say that the evidence is of that. The evidence is clear that it is to rid the campus of Zionists.
Right.
Because the campus is feels a very pro-Palestinian bias, and one of the senior staffers has said that in the article. Yeah.
The thing is, Ant, is that being pro-Palestinian doesn't necessarily mean being anti-Zionist. I mean, if we're going to use ideologies and we're going to use semantics, I'm sorry, that's, you know, you don't have to be necessarily anti-Zionist to be pro-Palestinian.
I think that, in my opinion, the vast majority of people who are pro-Palestinian don't want Israel to disappear. They're not saying, let's push Israel into the sea and we want the entire country. They are saying, we want a share of the country. Those who are saying...
You're being very diplomatic, and I appreciate that.
Those who are saying there should be no Israel.
Well, there's that side of it as well, yes.
Those people are certainly, again, depends what's in their mind. You always have to ask your question. You know, you always have to filter things through. What's going on in someone's mind?
Yeah.
And when they say something, the question is, are they being anti-Semitic? Are they being anti-Jewish? Are they being anti-Israel?
Yeah.
Anti-Zionist?
The thing is, you know, where this problem comes is in a public capacity like this, where you have a school that is teaching, that is trying to grow minds. Intellectual capital, and you know, when you're getting influences and this kind of ugly behavior in a public environment, where people are paying fees to go and people are donating money for that reason to improve the intellectual capital, and we've got a situation like this. So what I'm trying to get at is, going forward, last year you said there were six essentially Jews. Do you know any stats of what's coming in this year? What's coming for 2014?
I don't. One of the problems is the people don't. It's become a habit now of people not to fill in their religion when they sign it. You're not even practicing Jews when they join the campus. So that's the one.
Are they advised not to? Or is it just like, I mean, if I had to enroll at Rhodes, there's no ways I'm not going
to
do that.
Somebody's got to be suggesting to them, whether it's their parents or their peers or whatever, that don't mention that you're Jewish.
That's nonsense.
And so it really is very difficult. But I would really suggest that anybody who's listening has a read on this story.
Yes,
there are so many angles to it, but there's some very frightening information.
Well, I mean, this is now going to go worldwide, and I'm sure it'll be picked up by the media in Israel and certainly the academic institutions. Do you know if this Rhodes is associated with the ASA movement? Well, the ASA, recent ASA... That's the American Studies Association, but I mean, there must be a local. Is it just a BDS, basically a BDS derivative?
I think that if anything, if this the publication and the exposure of this information could help to lessen the impact of Israel Apartheid Week,
yes, of course,
which is always so difficult for Jewish students, and the fact is that. I don't think Rhodes is the only university that's subsidizing and paying for it. I think all the universities are doing so.
Right, right.
So hopefully we'll see better. But maybe we can chat further next week.
Okay. Can you stay or you need to run?
I need to run, unfortunately.
Okay. I'd like to thank you. Thank you for coming in and for bringing this to us, and I appreciate it. And it's a fantastic story, and I wish you all the best with the online publication. It's a great website. And I'm going to take this forward myself because I enjoy this subject. And I'm sure you'll keep us updated, please.
Absolutely.
100%.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
And Katz, the online editor for the South African Jewish Report, thank you so much.
Cheers.